Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
I was thinking today that this is the most relaxed I've been in the course of many inaugurations I've watched, because I'm not responsible for it. But I can tell you that when I was in the government, I had white knuckles because of the nature of the threats. But it's so much more difficult today because of what we have seen, not just over the last 2 weeks, but that certainly has riveted our attention, but because of this growth in polarization in the United States and domestic violence in white supremacist groups. So I know, looking forward, that the members of the Biden team who have been nominated or have been appointed are now moving in laser-like fashion to try to uncover as much as they can about what looks very similar to insurgency movements that we've seen overseas, mm-hmm. where they germinate in different parts of a country and they gain strength, and it brings together an unholy alliance frequently of religious extremists, authoritarians, fascists, bigots, racists, nativists, even libertarians. And unfortunately, I think there has been this momentum that has been generated as a result of, unfortunately, the demagogic rhetoric of people that just departed government, but also those who continue in the halls of Congress. And so I really do think that the law enforcement, Homeland Security, intelligence, and even the defense officials are doing everything possible to root out what seems to be a very, very serious and insidious threat to our democracy and our republic.
This is Agman Report for today. It is Wednesday, the 27th day of January 2021, day 8, America held hostage. Again, America held hostage, day 8. But you're listening to the Agman Report, where truth can't be silenced. I want to tell everyone that open, that cold open, I want everyone to really understand why we play that and why I want everyone to know that's being played today and it will be played in the future. I want everyone to remember those words, because what is taking place today, as everyone knows, is anyone who is a constitutionalist, who is a Christian conservative, who believes in America first, who believes in the United States, the Norman Rockwell kind of United States, that's the objective where it should be. Anyone who believes that a biological male is just that, a biological male, biological female is just that. There's two genders. There are not 27 or 87 or however many. There are the specific pronouns to each of the two genders. We don't have to guess. We are the enemy. And that is Obama's little pal, John Brennan, okay, the Muslim in chief of the CIA, formerly the communist. Yes, communist. Don't forget he voted for Gus Hall. It's no secret. This is not hyperbole. A communist, as well as Comey having communist inclinations and biases. This, of course, Diana West had said about this, but nonetheless, I want everyone to understand that we are the enemy now. We are the enemy, declared enemy by the Department of Justice and by the FBI. We had Brandon Strzok, depending on how you want to pronounce his name, it's Strzok, but who Eric the Tech, myself, we had a great time in Washington, D.C. with him. He was arrested. He was indicted, multiple count indictment. For his participation. There it is right there on your screen. There's the criminal complaint, for his role in the January 6th events at the Capitol. It was not in an insurrection. And you know what? Nancy Pelosi and, others, you'll know. I guarantee it. You will know when it's an insurrection. That was not an insurrection. With me for the entire show. It's not that I forgot who was with me. Okay. I was looking at something here on my notes. I just want to mention this as well. The news now is coming out. Rod Rosenstein offered to wear a wire people said, well, that was, you know, he denied it, of course. Remember when that story happened, he denied it. That's come out in declassified memos. Gee, what a surprise. You know, what's that Home Alone kid? Okay. Yeah, there's my surprise.
Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, thank you. All right. So there's that. HR1. You know, I think I was one of the first, or we were one of the first platforms to really sound, and Dave Hodges' show from Sunday, I was saying HR1, man, it will destroy the United States. It will destroy our representative republic, and that's exactly what they're pushing, HR1. There it is on the screen. It's on HagmanReport.com. I want everyone to read it and completely understand it. So anyway, with me right now, Randy Taylor, co-host of the Hagman Report, and Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. That's ProvisInstitute.com, where you will find Saving the Constitution, the magnum opus of all books about the Constitution, and, of course, his Liberty series, as well as Bathroom Economics and an assortment of other works. Go to ProvisInstitute.com. Do so tonight while you still can, while the book is not banned, while the book is not being burned by the fascists out there in government, and while we can still talk like we are talking right now. So go to ProvisInstitute.com. Randy and Richard, thanks for being with me. I know Richard Proctor has got a lot of information. Randy, ceremonially, I'll bring you in. How you doing, brother?
Good to see you. I'm here.
Okay.
It's interesting. I've got a really good sunburn on that screen, and this one over here, I don't look quite so bad.
Well,
so I don't know what's happening. I get a sunburn. I go to Florida every day.
You know, I look like I look like I'm jaundiced half the time. okay. So, and my hair looks non-gray. I don't get that. So don't worry about it. Never mind.
Good. I won't.
We didn't tell you we built a microwave into your camera.
Oh no.
we're slowly either defrosting or baking. I'm not really sure.
Right, yeah.
We're nuking.
How are we doing today, guys?
It's a good day.
Yeah,
good day. In spite of the things that Doug just said, it's a good day.
It's a good day.
Every day above ground's a good day.
That's right.
Yes.
That's a good, that's a keep it simple, okay? And I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Frank in, we'll say, Southeast Asia. Thanks for the email, and look forward to hearing from you again.
Yes, and to everyone who has sent emails, I'll tell you what, I'm so far behind in emails. I do read them. Thank you for the emails. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And bear with us as we get back to you. I know in Mr. Taylor's personal life here, it's been a crazy week.
Yes.
And it's starting to level out again. We lost a member of our canine family, and that broke our hearts. And we've brought in another member to make up for it.
Yes.
And we're very, very, very pleased. We're a dog family.
And I got to tell you, the loss hurt me too, because
yeah, Doug, she, we always called her Doug's girlfriend.
I'm telling you, she was a great, great, great girl. All right, let's get down to business. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Richard Proctor, you said before the airing, you said, "Man, I got some stuff."
Yes.
All right, let's talk. You remember the Gong Show? Remember that Gong Show?
Yeah.
It talks about stuff.
Yes.
All right. Let's.
You know the thing.
That thing too. Let's talk. All right, Richard. Let's talk. What you got?
Okay. Well, I got lots more than this, but let's just talk about HR1, just for a moment. Now, this morning I went to the search engine that I used, DuckDuckGo, and every definition on that that was brought up, every one of them. Everyone says this HR1 will improve voting integrity. It will fix all the problems that we had in this election. On and on and on. Okay. But this is, you can find this at Pundit Press. I picked it up from Michael Scott's End of the American Dream. Here's a list of 12 items that this law will do. Internet only registration with electronic signature submission. You know, that allows your dog to register, and your cat, and your parrot, and your goldfish. It's internet only. Anybody can. I know of kids that have had college kids or heard of college kids that registered their dog and he graduated. Next, banning requirement to use a full SSAN for voter registration. If you don't use the full one, you can make up four letters at the end and do whatever you want. Oh, yes. Nationwide voter motor registration, which means, of course, you just drive in, they register, and you drive out. Nothing more than that. 16-year-olds required, not allowed, required to be registered to vote. Not allowed to be re-registered. Nationwide same-day registration. Same-day registration means that you can go to any precinct, every one of them, over and over and over, register that day, vote again. Then go to another one, register again, vote again. And you can do that all day. Six, grants, $25 million if you'll just use minors in your election activity. Minors, I believe, in this case, would mean 13, 14, 15, 16, that area. More children voters. We got to have more 16 and 15-year-olds voting. Prohibiting attempts to clean the voter rolls of non-residents. In other words, we got to make sure all the non-residents are there, because if we don't, we might lose. Murderers and rapists and any other felon can vote. Mandatory early voting. In other words, everybody, every state must have mandatory. Oh, by the way, this will overrule any state rules or laws, too. It becomes federal decree. Allow you to print your own ballots at home. Now, mind you, what you can do there, print your own ballots at home. Probably isn't a restriction to how many times you can do that either. The big one, nationwide vote by mail. Ban on ballot protection measures. Legalized limitless ballot harvesting. Guys, every one of those things will destroy our election process. Everyone, one, each one of them will do it. But all 12? Oh, my. That's really something, guys. But when I went to Google, not Google, I don't go there. They're a bad group. But I go to DuckDuckGo and they do the same searches. The same stuff comes up. Every one of those said this HR1 is going to fix our voting. It'll fix everything so we can vote. Everything will be fine in our voting. Well, folks, it ain't so.
Would you like fries with your ballot?
Pardon?
Would you like French fries with your ballot?
Yes, you can do that. You can have a party at your home. A big group of people show up and everybody print a ballot. Yay, there we go.
Unbelievable.
Anything you want, you can do. There'll be no integrity to the voting system at all if HR1 takes effect. Will it? Well, we got Mitt Romney there in the Senate to make sure that the Democrats have a majority. God. Yep. Good old Utah guy right there to make sure the Democrats always have a majority.
Man. Old Mittens, yeah. And Toomey in Pennsylvania, who's not going to seek any political office. He shouldn't. He should hang his head in shame. Murkowski and others, you know, shame on you.
Why doesn't Romney just change parties? I mean, he's
Utah voters won't vote for a Democrat.
God.
Utah voters will vote for a Republican. Aha.
He's a sorry excuse.
And just push the button.
He's a sorry excuse for a Republican.
Yeah, you see, Utah has two blind sides. If it's a Republican, it's okay. If he's a Mormon Republican, he's almost as good as they come. Blind side.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. So HR1, folks, we now Richard Proctor, ProvostInstitute.com, how do we fight HR1 as a populace? Because we cannot allow this. We cannot allow this. What do we do? Call our representatives and say, what do we do?
Yeah, you can call them. Yeah, you can send them emails. These people don't care. They represent 780,000 people and they don't care unless all 780,000 call them. The worst thing here, though, is the 17th Amendment. If the 17th Amendment weren't there, none of these things would happen. Well, if we elected the president properly, as accord with Article 2, none of these things would happen. Period. They'd be fixed. If we even used the simple thing of Amendment 14 requiring people to be citizens, have to be born from an American, have to be born on U.S. soil, have American parents. It's just one. That would eliminate a lot of problems, too. But, of course, we let non-citizens vote, non-residents vote. You just come across the border and vote. Yeah. We could have, let's see, there's 8,000 people coming from Honduras, I understand. Maybe they're already here. When they get here, we'll have them all vote. Oh, in the cemetery, we can vote them all too. So there's a lot of people can vote. That's how you I don't know how you could fix it, guys. I don't know. I do know one way, but I'm not going to say that. I don't know how you could do it. But I think that the time that this is going to be, all these things are going to happen, is limited. And it's not 4 years. I think it's limited. Last week, I'm going to say it this way, Randy and I had a disagreement, a gentleman's disagreement, whatever, on what was going on the 6th.
A difference of opinion.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. And I didn't shoot you, and you didn't shoot me. So there you have it. My position was that if Trump has the military with him, he's in good shape. But if he does not, then he's flapping his gums. If Trump goes to an election in 2022 or 2024, there won't be one. We're done with elections. HR1, we will still have them, but they won't mean anything. And HR1 will be passed by our illustrious Senate because they all want it. Even Romney and well, that's enough. That'd be 51 to 49. That's plenty, you know. So we're going to have that. That's going to pass, and that's what's going to come. So there won't be an election ever again in this country until all of the things that are being done now are washed away.
I'll be the first one to say it. I don't see any way out of this except, and I'm not advocating this. I'm analyzing this. I don't see any way out of this except a civil war.
Insurrection.
Yeah.
The old saying is ballots or bullets. We can't count on the ballots.
Nope.
Okay, guys, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you if Trump doesn't have the military with him, okay?
Okay. Explain.
But if he does have it with him, then I don't think it will be necessary. All right? Now, let me spend a few minutes.
Yeah, please. You're going to have to, please, because right now he's down at Mar-a-Lago golfing. He's the occupying the office of the former president of the United States or whatever the office is. But, yeah, please explain. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, I'll go along here. I've got four pages here of notes. I'll go through them slowly. Art of War. You know, that's a Chinese thing. This guy came up with the Art of the War. Art of War, he essentially comes down to this. When you're close to doing something, make your enemy feel you are far away. Golfing out in the park. When you're far away, make the enemy feel you're close. Now, I can pick up many things when you're close, they think you're far away. One, that thing you just mentioned, the golfing, that makes them think you're far away. All these guys that talk about a two-year program for 4 years and a two-year balloting program, hey, that's far away. When they think you've given up, that's far away. Everybody close to the president says his plan 2 years is 2 and 4 years away. The people are close to him. They will be interviewed. They will say, well, I was talking to the president on the plane, and he said this and this and this, which means he said we're going to work hard to get a Republican majority in the House and Senate in 22. Joint Chiefs say they'll only follow the civilian president. That's period. Well, Trump is not the civilian president. So every one of these things say that Trump is not in the least bit interested in anything. But the Art of War says that's when you're supposed to pay attention, not push them aside. Let's see what Trump said. Again, remember, Art of War. I leave you in good hands. I'll be back soon in some other form. Art of War. I've just formed the office of a former, I'm occupying the office of a former president, just like you just said, Doug. Art of War. Associates keep saying 22, 24 years, far away. Epic Times says, this is another instance. No, this isn't about that, so I won't say that. Anyway, so here we are with all these indications that he's far away, and we will have these kind of government until 22. if there's election. And if H.R. 1 comes, there's no election. Let's see where the military is in this event. Now, these are only indications. Nobody's announced anything. But let's look at a few indications. First, the top brass. Who are they with? Well, you realize, I'm sure most of you do, but I'm talking to a big, big audience. The top military brass would not send a plane to pick up Biden to come to the inauguration. He had to take a private plane. Next, there were no ruffles and flourishes or no 21-gun salute in D.C. But there was ruffles and flourishes and a 21-gun salute in Florida.
And let me interrupt you. Randy, pay attention to these oddities because I almost sent you, in fact, I might have sent you this list that Richard Proctor is talking about. Folks, pay attention to these oddities because I can't explain them either. And maybe it's innocuous, maybe not, but it certainly raises some questions. Go ahead, sir. So there's too many
of them, you guys. There's too many to just pass them off.
Right.
These are all the top guys. These are the guys in charge. These are the commanders. They did these things. And the next thing they did, they're leaving troops in D.C. until mid-March. The number's 5,000. Plenty. Look at all those items. They wouldn't send him a plane. The military said, no, we won't. When the riot was occurring from the bad guys, the mayor asked for the military to send her some. Nope, we won't. Have a good day. Here's one that's really important that I didn't just mention a minute ago. The football. Do you guys know what the football is? Well, you guys know. Let me make sure everybody listening to us knows. The football is the briefcase carried by a military guy in attendance with the president at all times. That football went to Florida. The military took that football to Florida. And as far as I know, it has never returned. So Biden does not have the football, which means the military doesn't agree that Biden's president. The Joint Chiefs said that they would only follow the president, but there they are, helping Trump with all these things. 21-gun salute. All they did for Biden was three guns, three cannons, and a few intermittent stuff.
That's because of his mental state. He thought it was 21 guns.
That's right. Good show. Let me read you what ruffles and flourishes means. It's played on drums. Flourishes are played on bugles. They are sounded together once for each star of the general officer being honored, or according to the title held by the honoree. Four ruffles and flourishes is the highest honor. Well, I listened to them on that video over and over and over. I didn't count them because I didn't know about the four, but they didn't give any of these to Biden. None of them, not any, was played. Military control again. Military decides. The guns, three instead of four. Trump had, there were four cannons firing regularly all the way out. With Biden, they only had three guns, and they intermittently fired them. And, you know, the comment, well, you know, we can't find any more guns. That's what the top brass is doing. That's very important. Every one of those things has an indicator where the top brass is with Trump. Now I would say the rank and file, the regular troops, are also important in this discussion. How do they feel? Here goes Trump down the road with his cavalcade, all the cars going, and here comes his truck, his car that he's in. They turned their backs on him when he passed. I saw them do it. As he passed, they all, these are regular guys now, they weren't told to do that, they all turned their backs. During the time that this, from the inauguration, they've had all kinds of National Guard troops. They were vetted. Some were shoved in, these are National Guard guys and military, were shoved into a dark parking place with no proper facilities. Then they were left there for several days. Left there. These are military guys were shoved back into a dark place. You think they're happy with that? This is really interesting. Very, very subtle. When he was walking down the hall, there were Marines there to pay him an honor, and they saluted him. As he walked by, He mumbled, "Salute the Marines. Salute the Marines." Now let's ponder that for a minute. That comment, "Who salute the Marines?" You know, this is what I think. This is just Dickie. Okay. This is what Dickie thinks. He had an earpiece. He had an earpiece. Okay. And somebody said, "Salute the Marines." So he said it, "Salute the Marines," rather than do it. Now, doesn't he know? He was vice president. He knows. He's been around there a long time. He's been in this place. He knows that when the Marines salute, you're supposed to. Every private knows when you salute an officer, he will return the salute. Everybody knows that. And he did not.
I got hairy legs. And
they, the military people, all know these things. So the regular troops aren't with Biden, whatever. And the top brass is not with Biden. What more do you need? That's what's going on. Now, people say, why didn't Trump do anything while he was in office? He was going to arrest all these people and have all these trials. He didn't do anything. What's going on here? Why do you think he's going to do it now if he didn't do it over 4 years? That's a regular comment. Well, remember the stuff that I just talked about with Art of War. But one of the pieces of this package that Trump has to do is he has to have the permission of the United States people. Now, he doesn't have to ask for it, but he has to have their support. And if he doesn't have their support, the media will tear him to pieces. But if he does have their support, then they'll disregard the media trying to tear him to pieces because they'll understand it. And the only way they can have he can be assured of their support is if they can taste what it'll be with the next guy, if they can have a taste of that. Another thing he needs, and he needs to be able to identify completely, openly, all the enemies in the federal government. In other words, all the people in the House that voted for impeachment, all the people in the Senate right now that have voted for no impeachment, have voted for impeachment again, five of them. All the Democrats and five Republicans voted for the impeachment trial. Now, Schumer says, oh, you guys, you've got to understand this. Let me get my little constitution here. Yeah. Schumer says that it's completely legal. What we're doing is completely legal because in Article 1, Section 3, Paragraph 7, okay, I'm going to read paragraph 7. Everybody else get your constitution down. Read it with me. By the way, the book doesn't have, it has the paragraph, but doesn't explain it like this because I would never even have thought it would have come up. But we're going to read it. Judgment in cases of impeachment shall not extend further than to remove from office.
That's it.
And disqualification to hold and enjoy any office, honor, trust, or profit under the United States, but the party convicted shall nevertheless be liable for subject to indictment, trial, judgment, according to law. That's civilian after they're not in office. Now let's see what that says. Cases of impeachment shall not extend further than to remove from office and disqualification to hold office. Here's an illustration of the same thing. Let me just say it. Here's a guy. Oh dear. Yes. I wrote it down, but I don't know where it is anymore, so I will just say it. Here's a fellow. I know a fellow. He's really good. He's really good, and he's really bad. So if I said, I know a fellow who's really bad, is that what the Senate said? I know a fellow who's really good. Is that what the Senate said? The Senate said, and this and that. If you leave out the and, you've lost the sentence. This says, shall be prohibited. No, I'm reading the wrong paragraph. This says, shall not extend further than to remove from office and disqualification to hold any office in the federal government. You see the and? That's a big word. If you drop out the and, then it says, impeachment shall extend to disqualification to hold any office on. But if you don't leave out the and, it says removal from office and the other. So the Constitution does not say they have a choice of which one to use. Right. It's an and in the middle. Schumer is absolutely wrong. I don't care if he is in the Senate and he is a big dude there. He's wrong. The Constitution does not say that. And I don't care how many scholars they get. with bias that will say it does. It does not. It is unconstitutional to impeach somebody who is not in office, because you can't remove him from office, and that's the first step. If you can't remove him from office, then you can't disqualify him to hold the other offices. That's what it says. That's the law.
It's very clear. It says and, not either or.
That's right. It doesn't say or. It doesn't say either or. It says and. That means both conditions must be met. If both conditions must be met, the first one is the most important. He's not in office, therefore cannot be removed from office. Therefore, the second one is not in effect. So anybody who thinks the Constitution says differently needs to read it and understand all the words. And it isn't tough.
No, that pretty well shoots Schumer down.
Yes, it does. And a lot of people will not, especially people who have an axe to grind, or they have a goal, or they have an agenda. They will never read what all the things say. They only read what they want it to say.
And I think it's the second part of that that they're focusing on, that he cannot run for office again or cannot hold office.
Yes, they
again.
Are. They're focusing on that.
That's what their radar is They're scared of them. They're scared of the man.
Right. Right now, yes, they are scared of me. Right now, the only thing they're trying to do is the second part.
Yes.
Disqualification to hold and enjoy any office of honor, trust, or profit under the United States. That's what they're aiming for. And that's proper if he's removed from office. But if he's not removed from office, it doesn't apply. It doesn't apply. Yeah. The word and ties it together.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're trying to put a roof on a house that isn't built.
Yes, exactly. That's what they're trying. Guys, it's very clear. The Constitution is clear on this. So anybody who says differently hasn't read it yet or reads it for their own use. By the way, that's what's going on all the time now. Oh, we're going to use the Constitution. Oh, yeah, right. Well, if you're going to use the Constitution, then all the senators have to go home because the Constitution says they cannot be removed from the state, from their state representation, the state itself, the legislature. Since that's what the Constitution says in Article 5, all the senators need to go home. Was there an amendment in 17 that was passed? Yes. But the rules of law, the rules of contract law, say without question that you cannot change the wording of the document. So you can, that all by itself, the 17th Amendment is null and void. So send all those senators home and bring the ones that the states send in, not the ones that they've bought people off to send in. There's no popular vote for senators. None. Zero. Zip. And any state worth its salt has, their legislature has, nullified that amendment. They have the power. They have the power. They all swore, Article 6, to uphold the Constitution, follow its precepts, honor it. It's the supreme law of the land. Every one of them did that. So to do that, you must nullify things that are not constitutional in your state. And any state with any gumption, with a legislature with any gumption, could immediately remove that, the 17th Amendment, and then the legislature could appoint their senators just like they're supposed to. That's the Constitution, guys. Very, very clear. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
How could that be affected? Could they do that?
The first thing to do, Randy, the first thing you have to do in this scenario is you must elect constitutionally minded representatives and senators. If you don't do that, you haven't done anything. They must be constitutionally minded, meaning they're going to follow the Constitution and what it says, and when they do their oath, they mean it. Now, you can always tell people who aren't because what they've done in the past, what they're doing all the time. You can tell what they're not honoring the Constitution. Right now, almost every senator in the Senate, we can show all kinds of reasons why they should not be in office and the state should be replacing them. Almost everyone. There might be an exception. There always is an exception to the rule. That's the first thing. You can do that in every state. They have the power to nullify. That's a part of it. That's what the 10th Amendment gives them. That's what Article 6 gives them, the power to do those things. It is not in the Constitution to elect senators for a popular vote. That's not in the Constitution. Therefore, The 10th Amendment says anything that's not in the Constitution belongs to the states. It's not in the Constitution. It belongs to the states. The 6th Article says, I'll swear to uphold the foundation law of the land, which is the Constitution. When you say that, you put that together, then you go to the Constitution and read what it says. And if you go to Article 5, really quick, it says right here, no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage, which means voting, of its equal voting in the Senate. No state shall be deprived of its power in the Senate. That's what it says. That amendment was never legal, ever. It's never been challenged, but it's never been legal. But it would be ridiculous to challenge it today because all the guys in the Supreme Court, which is where everybody thinks that this is supposed to be done, they will all say, oh, yeah, it doesn't even have standing. Don't even have standing here. But the Constitution says you cannot popularly elect a senator. That's what it says.
And aren't they supposed to base their decisions on what the Constitution says?
They are supposed to base their decisions on it, but they go to Europe and learn what the Europeans do and then come back and put that in our office. Or they listen to what the people who are paying them in the background say to do, and they do that. Or lots of other things. So the Supreme Court is, it's not valid.
And the Supreme Court's only going to get worse now.
Yes, only going to get worse. And people say, well, we'll pack it. Doesn't matter if you pack it or not. They only have 8 powers. Only have 8 powers, nothing more. 8. So none of the things they're doing, can they do legally? They only have 8 powers. We say we're going to go to the Constitution, then do it. Go to Article 3, Section 2, Paragraph 1, and do it. They only pick and choose what they want to do.
They can pack it all they want. You know, once the toilet's backed up, it doesn't matter what else you throw in the toilet. It's going to stay backed up.
Yes, that's absolutely true. I understand.
Quick question while we're on the Supreme Court thing, and this is just because I don't know. When there is an impeachment, does a Supreme Court justice have to oversee it?
Yeah, the Chief Supreme Court Justice has to oversee it. Yes.
Then why are they talking about having some congressman oversee it?
That's one of the reasons why it's unconstitutional, the Chief Justice isn't there. Therefore, it is not a trial or an impeachment of a president.
They are just making up the rules as they go.
Yes, exactly.
This has to stop.
Paul, I got this man named Paul. I wish I knew what his position was in the article I was reading. Just said Paul over and over and over again. He has his stuff on right. He's doing the right thing. He's doing what he should do. He's making every one of these guys mark down exactly where they stand. And 5 Republicans showed exactly where they stand, and all the Democrats showed exactly where they stand. That's what Trump needs.
I think you're referring to Senator Rand Paul. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Paul. Okay. See, it didn't say that in the article, and I didn't want to patch a title to something I didn't know. But that's what it is. Senator Paul said, I want you guys to put your names on a sheet. And they had to vote, and they did.
Yep.
5 Republicans and all the Democrats are voting for an illegal, unconstitutional act. Isn't that nice?
Yeah. I'd love to see you and Dr. and Paul get together and talk
sometime. We would chat. By the way, I must apologize to the audience. I don't care about you guys. I get so carried away, and I get talking so fast and so hard and so excited that I just go like mad. I've listened to a couple of these things, and I think to myself, good grief, you have got to calm down. Look at how calm Randy is. Look at how calm Doug is. And then you come on like you're herding a herd of elephants and yelling at them. I'm sorry, guys. I really
we were banking on that, though.
it's a personality quirk. I have a personality quirk that really gets in the way sometimes.
No, run with it. We love it. These are very interesting points. I had no idea. Now, that nuclear football, you said that's in Florida?
Well, let's preface it. It went to Florida with President Trump, and we don't know if it came back. Presumably, okay, it's ordinarily it would be with the current president.
Yeah. Okay. Why would it? why would it fly with President Trump and then go back on an empty plane?
Because he was president at the time he flew on Air Force One. He had to have it.
Exactly. And let me toss this into that list of oddities. Richard Proctor, why was Biden sworn in 10, 12 minutes earlier than...
Okay,
I'm just curious. I mean, I don't know.
I have no idea why they committed that stupid mistake. But that mistake by itself makes the swearing in unconstitutional, therefore can't be done. Trump was president until 12:01 of January the 20th. We can't have two presidents. Therefore, he cannot be sworn in before the other one leaves office. But he did it anyway. Again, that's another one of these oddities that they're doing, but it's stupid. All these things are stupid. All they do is they keep getting more and more zings against them without thinking. It's just over and over and over. Well, people naturally expect everybody else to do the same things they would do. So if I'm a real cad, I expect everybody else to be a real cad also. Yeah. So if I'm rolling over people, I expect everybody else to be rolling over also. And that's the problem. That's the main problem.
And I just want to alert both of you and, of course, our viewing and listening audience, at 11 o'clock Eastern time today, and this is up on HagmanReport.com, the Department of Homeland Security, and this could very well go with what you're saying, issued a domestic national terrorism bulletin for domestic terrorism advisory. And I'll just give you the first two sentences because that's the money statement. And it's an interesting way they put this, which speaks to what you were saying. The acting secretary of Homeland Security has raised a national terrorism advisory system bulletin due to a heightened threat environment across the United States, which DHS believes will persist in the weeks following. Now listen to this segment here. The successful presidential inauguration. Look, I don't know what that means.
Oh, I know what that means.
Okay. All right.
9 minutes early.
Okay, so now it says information suggests that some ideologically motivated violent extremists with objections to the exercises of government authority and the presidential transition, as well as other perceived grievances fueled by, listen to this, false narratives, could continue to mobilize to incite or commit violence, meaning they're going to keep the military in there not until mid-April. They're not going to do it until April 30th at 1 p.m.
And it won't stop then. Don't. It's just like this freaking COVID. Put on your mask for 3 weeks and we'll be okay. You know what? They're going to make it to where people can't go to the damn Capitol.
Well, they have. They have, guys.
But I'm just saying, it's going to extend past whatever dates they're giving you.
Oh, yeah. This is BS.
This is BS. This is crap. No, you know, they know that they pissed off 75 million people that they know of.
Now, here's another point. That fence really circles the corporation.
And let's talk about this corporation
this week. It was brought to my attention by one of my guys who sends me stuff. By the way, that stuff I have about the top brass and the was sent by a young lady called Lolita, and I got that information from her, and she sent me a video, and I watched that video really close. That's a really good video. It's an hour long, so it takes quite a while. Okay, now let's go. Another gentleman sent me information about the 1871 item. What did it do?
I saw that too.
And you know, I really feel bad. I haven't been clear on that subject until now. Now it's covered in my article, in my volumes, volume one in the preface. Here's some more information. I've looked at the actual bill itself, sections, chapters 40, 62 and 63. I have to admit, I don't understand what they say. Okay. I've looked at it. I can't understand, but I can understand what the people who understand what it says say, okay? That's kind of like a physician that tells me stuff I don't know what he said, but I know what he finished with, and that's what it affects, because I don't understand the words that he's using until he gets to my language. Now, so I've been to my language on it. This is what it says, precisely. The 1871 law made a corporation of Washington, D.C. It did not make a corporation outside of Washington, D.C.
Thus,
the fence encloses that the government of Washington, D.C. The fence encloses it. Those people are in the corporation. Trump is in the republic. We are in the republic. The corporation is not in charge of us out here. It's thus, in charge of Washington, D.C.
Thus the current push to make D.C. a state.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's definitely a part of it. Absolutely.
Exactly what they're up to.
Absolutely. Now, when you look at it from that angle, now you got to think of what did the 1871 Act do? Well, first, it's completely against the Constitution, therefore it's null and void. Okay? It doesn't follow Article 6. It just doesn't do it. So it's null and void. But since nobody believes that kind of stuff, we just do it anyway. What it does is it has given ownership, the ownership of Washington, D.C., not the ownership of Kentucky, not the ownership of Illinois, the ownership of Washington, D.C., that 10 square miles, is owned by the Rothschilds and all those people own that corporation. They own it. The Bank of England, all those guys, they own that corporation, but they do not own the republic out here. And that's important. And the next thing that's important is that every city that's incorporated has given in to the 1871 rule. And if they're incorporated, they're officially saying that they're a part of the corporation rather than a part of the republic. So everybody move to unincorporated areas so you can be part of the republic. Now, that's a little bit technical. I'm not sure exactly how that would be looked at, but the only corporation is the corporation in Washington, D.C. That was what the 1871 Act did, and it was done because of the debt of the Civil War, and the people overseas wanted to have a step and a piece and control of the American government, the Americas. So they incorporated the Washington, D.C. area where the government is. And we all assumed that the government controls us. But in reality, if you really get down to legally, the government of Washington, D.C. does not control the republic, just Washington, D.C.
What, based on that, what level in the court system would be able to rule and say that's effective, that is in effect?
Okay, now let's go back. What level? There's no level in the court system today that will honor that.
Right.
Okay, unless you're in a state that honors it.
Okay.
And your state justices may, but no federal justice will honor anything I just said. The Supreme Court won't honor anything I just said. That's why the Declaration of Independence says that if they don't follow the rules of the Constitution and unalienable rights, you're supposed to alter or abolish the government. That's why it says that.
So
Randy, hang on a second. Because I'm going to get emails saying, well, this is the theory and working hypothesis of --Win:/Miller. Who believes that, who is actually a tool and die maker. This will get into that and the quantum language of the Constitution and the Admiralty Law and so on and so forth. Are you going that? You're not going that far, are you? Or are you?
Are you talking to me? Am I going that far?
Yes.
No. No, I'm not going that far. Right. I live in a country, the United States of America. I'm a citizen of the United States of America. I am not going out that kind of far on the limb because I'm a person, just one. I can't do that, and I can't live that way. That's divorcing myself from everything to do with the United States. I served in the military of the United States, and I would do it again. I believe in the United States of America.
Okay, yeah, because the I don't mean to overtalk you because I'm going to be getting emails saying, well, you know, because he owns the American flag, the trademark to the American flag, and he's the postmaster general of the world, and it gets crazy and crazy and crazy, and the rabbit holes get so deep that, you know, people end up contorting themselves into things that are just fantastical. So I just wanted to make it clear. Okay, that's cool. That's all right.
The only thing I'm doing is I'm pointing out what the Constitution says, what the laws of the land say.
Bingo.
I'm just pointing those things out so people can understand what the Constitution says, not what you should be doing. Because if you try to do those things, then you're in a state of rebellion. Literally, you are.
And
I don't want to be in a state of rebellion.
Right.
I don't want to be in a state of rebellion. I don't want that. I want to be a part of the United States of America. Lowercase. I would rephrase that. I want to have as my document this Constitution for the United States of America, which has become called the Constitution of the United States of America. But remember, that's not the official title of the Constitution. The official title is the last line in the preamble, this Constitution for the United States of America. Because when they signed that document, there was no United States of America. Therefore, it couldn't be of it because it didn't exist. And words matter. But when 1871 came along, they illegally and unconstitutionally, but nobody challenged it at the time or even now, nobody challenged it. They changed not only the title to the Constitution of, but they capitalized it. And capitalizing is vastly important in contracts. And this is a contract. A corporation is a contract. It's vastly important that it be capitalized. Words matter.
Yeah.
Capitalization matters. Punctuation matters. You can't throw it out. That's why I keep going back to the words and, or, comma. You can't throw these things out. They're a part of it. But we have thrown them out as a country, citizens of a country, because we don't know what it says. If we knew what it says, we could take action to alter or abolish the government that's doing it. But we don't know what it says. And in many cases, don't care. I got my TV on. I got my can of beer. Mabel's right here with me. My team's playing. I'm in good shape. I don't care. That's an attitude.
Yeah.
That's an attitude that's destroying our country.
Yeah.
Guys, if you learn the Constitution, you'll know that that attitude is incorrect. If you don't learn the Constitution, you will not know. Everybody in this country should know as much about the Constitution as I do. Should. And that book, Saving the Constitution, will allow you to know those things. You got to really study it hard, though, if you're going to be able to quote it like I do. Okay? Because I studied it really hard. That's the only way I can quote it like this. But you could, too. It's not magic. It's written there. It's just English. It's simple. You could read it, too. You could see the ands, the ors, and the commas. You can see them. Don't pretend like it takes a constitutional attorney to tell you what it says. Garbage. Doesn't take a constitutional attorney. It takes someone who knows how to read. That's all it takes. And it's only 4,400 words long. It's not like we're asking you to read a tome of 1,300 pages. Just 4,000 words. It's up in this little tiny, I'm going to hold it up so it works. It's in this little, it worked, in this little tiny item. See, that's all the thick it is. This little tiny item. It's not 4,000 pages. Read it and get the book. It's in it there, so you can read it in there and then the explanation. Read it there and the explanation. For example, the word suffrage, the word corruption of blood, the word ex post facto, those kinds of things, all the ors, all those things. I've studied long and hard to find those things so you will know what they say when you look at my book without having to do all the same study I did. But you can. And you can know everything that I did. And no, you can become the expert of the Constitution. But most people have something else in life to do. So they haven't got the time to do all of that. I've done it for you. If you read it, if you don't agree with it, then don't agree with it. But at least read it and see the rationale. Follow it through. It's a book. I'm a person. I can make errors. Well, I remember making one back in 1920. But since then, I've been really good. The point I make, folks, is you can read the book. You can know what it says. You can read the Constitution. You can know what it says. Stop writing me. Read for yourself. Now, I don't really mean that because a lot of people want to know a little bit, want to know this, want to know that. So I will. But when you send me something I don't know the answer to, I will say, I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to that. I will say that. I can't say anything else. I'm not going to pretend like I know everything. Last week, somebody asked me, how do you split the atom? I says, I don't know how. I don't know why they expected I would know how.
You know, speaking of your book and the Constitution, I got to just toss this out. There's a meme going around on social networking. It's a picture of AOC, you know, very dejected. And the word says, everyone wants me to read the Constitution. And then below that picture is, but it's written in cursive. And, you know, that might be a meme that's funny, but think about that. I mean, folks, think about that.
It is written in cursive, by the way.
Yes.
And in her case, there's no pictures.
Yeah.
Right.
You guys, she is dumber than a box.
Absolutely right.
Scratch and sniff.
What's that?
Scratch and sniff.
That's right. Yeah, but you know, it goes to what you're saying. Richard Proctor, Provost Institute. Your book explains the Constitution in a manner that I like. You know, so anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in there, but very interesting points all, right through. You're listening to the Hagmann Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Let me know when we have to take a top of the hour break, for the satellite. So.
Yeah. It already passed.
Okay. Yeah, you blew the break, buddy.
No, I think I don't think so. I'm looking at, unless our program clocks are different. I'll tell you what. Oh, yeah. Let's do this right now, folks. You're listening to the Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network. Let's take our top of the hour break. And then be right back after this. Stay right where you're at.
Excellent. Well done.
Mainstream media won't. You're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
This is the Hagmann Report, where truth can't be silenced. I want everyone to know that this is America held hostage by the Maoist, Marxist, Leninist, globalist cabal, the party of Davos, the Klaus Schwabs of the world, the George Soroses of the world. This is day number 8, the 27th day of January 2021. And this is hour 2, Randy Taylor and Richard Proctor. Going to kick it right back to Richard Proctor. And Randy and Richard are having a kind of a very robust conversation into the events of the day. I'm enthralled let's pick it back up. Guys, let's pick it back up. Go ahead. Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Get your book, Saving the Constitution. Go ahead, Richard.
Just a thought here. I just want to bring this up. Amazon, the company of Amazon, is having a problem with one of their areas that wants to unionize. And this is going on. They're wanting to do it. Well, Amazon, it was the government that said they could do mail-in ballots and all that kind of stuff because of the disease. And Amazon came back, well, before the election, Amazon said, yes, we have to have mail-in ballots because of the disease. And they were a big part of that. Now we're after the election. Now they say, no, we can't have mail-in ballots. We need to have people vote in person because that's how we'll know whether or not it's an honest, true, sincere, fair election. Yeah. None of those words came out 2 months ago.
No.
But now they do.
Yeah, when it benefits them.
I think it's interesting that all of these things, none of them believed in them, but they all said them because it was necessary to get rid of Trump. Now he's gone. We can say all that stuff again. And Amazon is showing it right now. We insist on having ballots in person. Voting in person so that we know that it's fair, complete, and right. Yeah, interesting turn of events, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, the way to do this, I said this on one of the previous shows, they beat them at their own game.
That's right. Guys,
they want to do mail-in and all that crap and everything they want to do. Cool. You know what? Historically, the GOP hasn't cheated in the voting system. So guess what? Change the rules. We can play by those rules.
Yes.
I got
you guys, we live in a world.
I don't have any problem driving up the same place five times.
Yep. We do live in a world that calls right wrong and wrong right. And everything that you do, for example, the riots going on, the terrorist riots going on in Portland, Oregon, or in Oregon, let's just say that. These riots going on, been going on days and days and days, okay? They're not extremists. There is nothing wrong with what they're doing. But us Christians who sit at home reading the Bible, we are terrorists. Wow. And we're destroying property. And we're the people that are violent and cheating and stealing and all that kind of stuff. While we sit at home reading the Bible, we become that. Where the guys in Portland, Oregon are just expressing their views. That's what we've come to. We're going to cheat. We're going to arrest people and throw them in jail because that aren't doing anything, but we're going to let the people that are do anything they want.
Oh, yeah. And being a Christian now, as Brennan said, you're a religious extremist.
Yes, we are religious extremists.
Religious extremist. Like we're...
And I'm really a doubly extremist because I even write books about it. Wow. I even have publications. Wow. I'm a politician that believes in freedom. I'm a church-going Christian that believes in Christ. I'm as bad as they come. I can't believe how bad I am. You shouldn't have me on this show. I'm the wreck of the country.
You will be in charge of your cell block, sir.
Yes.
Hey, I got to interrupt you because Eric the Tech had said something and said in my earpiece, I don't agree with Randy Taylor. And I said, okay.
Uh-oh, Randy.
Yeah.
Calling you out.
So, Eric.
Go ahead. Eric, call me out there, Eric. What we got?
Do you want us, you want to say what you said or you want me to?
Yeah, in fact. Go ahead. You got the voice.
I got the voice, yeah. He said, Randy.
Randy.
Wait a
dear second. Dear Randy.
How'd you say it? How did you frame it? He said, the reason we're in this position is because President Trump did not cheat.
Randy said something about the GOP never cheating.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, historically.
I think modern era, the Bush was pushed in.
Yeah.
I think others.
Eric?
Well, we've talked about that before, that I believe Gore was bought off with this climate change crap by old man Bush.
And I think we're at where we're at because Trump broke that mold of tradition.
I agree.
Eric, if you pick up my series of books that that our buddy Doug has, you will find that that entire book shows lying over and over again by all the political parties all the time.
Okay, so I'm being forced to rescind my...
No, you don't have to rescind it.
Yes, you can defend it now.
You can defend
okay.
it.
Okay, no, the left cheats more.
That's a good statement.
There you go.
Okay, very good. I'm off the hook.
You could also defend it another way.
Would you kill that guy's microphone, that Eric guy?
No.
Can I get that comment in writing?
Okay.
Randy, there's also another way you can defend it. The people okay. who are in the Republican office that are doing it aren't really Republicans. They're rhinos.
Oh, yeah.
The people that are there, they're they're wolves in sheep's clothing. You can defend it that way because the people that are wolves in sheep's clothing that claim to be something else are the ones that you're talking about that yep. are doing all the violations and all the cheating.
I think a lot of the reason they didn't want to look into fraudulent voting is because even on the GOP side, there's a lot of people that are in office fraudulently.
On that's every why they, side.
Right, they didn't want to dig that up.
We just voted in a Republican for governor that's exactly the same ilk as all the rest of the Democrats. Okay?
Well, yeah. I was very disappointed in the Republicans in those five states that were under review of their voting.
Yes.
I mean, even the Republicans, they were shameful. They were a disgrace to the party. Not Donald Trump.
By the way,
they were a disgrace to the party and to the Constitution.
There really aren't two parties, Randy. We really should come to that. There really aren't two parties. They're just two legs of the same bird. We really don't have two parties. If you're going to look for another party, you've got to look for something like the Constitution Party. That's a different party than the Republicans and the Democrats. That's a different party. The others are just two legs of the same bird.
Yeah.
They're no different. They're no different. They just talk a little bit differently when they're politicians and want to get elected. But after they're elected, then they take on their proper clothing and their wolves, rhinos, all the words. So it's you can say those things, and then your statement is correct.
And it's like when you see Lindsey Graham fist bumping Kamala Harris. Yeah, I'd like to fist bump her.
Yep. Anyway, guys, what fun. What fun. What are we going to discuss now that'll be excite everybody?
You had a stack of stuff, man.
Yeah. Check your stack of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reaching that bag of tricks, baby.
Oh, well, you know, I used Article 6 here a few minutes ago. I said the states can use Article 6 to do what they want to do in nullifying. And that was the question you asked about.
Yeah.
So let me read and discuss exactly why the states have that power, okay? This is Article 6, and it's paragraph 2, and I'm not reading just some of it. I can read all the words, you see. This Constitution, notice it says thus, not the. That's important because this Constitution didn't exist as the Constitution at the time they wrote it. Just pay attention to all the words. This Constitution and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuant thereof. So now let's look at that for a moment. If you have this Constitution, it has rules all the way through it, 4,400 words of rules. If the law of the United States isn't in accordance with those rules of the Constitution, then it isn't a law yet. It literally says, shall be made in pursuant thereof. If it's not made in pursuant thereof, this document doesn't apply to it. Okay? I'll go on and explain what that means. And all treaties made, or which shall be made, under the authority of the United States. What is the authority of the United States? It's the Constitution and the laws made in pursuant to the Constitution or in accordance with the Constitution are the supreme law of the land. There's the item. If the laws are not made in accordance with the Constitution, they are not the supreme law of the land. They're no law of the land. If the treaty is not in accordance with the laws that are constitutional and the Constitution itself, then the treaty is invalid. It's not a law of the land. So you have to read all the words. You just can't leave them out. This Constitution, comma, and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuant thereof, comma, and all treaties made, comma, or which shall be made, comma, see, each one is set apart, under the authority of the United States, comma, shall be the supreme law of the land, semicolon, ends the thought. But folks, there you have it. If the the Constitution is the base, it's the foundation of every law of the land and every treaty. It's the foundation. If the foundation is violated, then that's not a law. That's not a rule. That's not a requirement. That's not anything. Therefore, in the next paragraph, it says, the senators and representatives before mentioned, that means the ones mentioned in the Constitution, and the members of the several state legislatures, and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath to support this Constitution. Again, this, not the. Okay, so what you have here, the senators and representatives are bound to support this Constitution. And this Constitution is defined above it, defines above it what the laws are, what the rules are that have to be followed. So the two paragraphs together say the laws must be in accordance with the Constitution. The Constitution is the item. We can say that today because we have it. The Constitution is the item that the laws of the state must be in accordance with, and they are not, if they are not in accordance, you swear an oath to not abide by them. That's what those two paragraphs are saying.
It gives. Where did we lose, at what point did that, they lose sight of that?
Say that
in your estimation.
What point?
Yeah.
I don't understand the question.
The meaning, at what time in history did they quit honoring what you just said?
Oh, 1791.
Okay.
Actually, 1790, I missed by a year. The Constitution had been ratified about 18 months before the first violation.
Okay.
That's the first time they began to violate this stuff. The senators and the representatives decided that they didn't have to honor the number of representatives in the House. 1790.
Okay.
They changed from 30,000 to 50,000. So they didn't honor it. That's the first time. You ask when did it start? 18 months after it was ratified. The Supreme Court in 1996 violated it when they took the land of someone based on a treaty which was not in accordance with the Constitution and the laws of the land.
Okay. All right.
Okay. The political parties took advantage of it in 1801 when they formed and split the rural and the urban part people apart by forming a party to elect the president, which violates Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution. And so that's another instance. Now we're only 1800. There are 10 major violations of this type in the first 24 years. By 1824, I should say, rather than the first 24 years. The founders and their families were still alive while these things are happening, violating the very document that they signed.
Okay.
So when did it happen? It started right after ratification. How do we do today? We're really champions at violating it today.
So we're way off base now.
Yes, we are way off base. You know, we have 10 amendments called the Bill of Rights. If you took a red pencil and you underlined every line that's been violated by the federal government, the politicians, the Supreme Court, the Bill of Rights would be red in color. There'd be no black left.
So, quick question. What happened on the 6th of January in Washington, D.C., where people are being like this Brandon gentleman that Doug knows, people that committed no violence whatsoever, nothing more than being present and possibly being verbal? Their arrests are illegal then.
Oh, absolutely. That comes with the amendment 6. All criminal public shall enjoy the right of a speedy public trial by an impartial jury. We're also going to talk about the grand jury. All of those things have to be taken into consideration.
Right. Now, and they have to have committed a crime in the first place.
Yeah, but it doesn't. You're right, Randy. But the Constitution doesn't say they can't be arrested. It just says they can't be put in prison. They can't be convicted of
gotcha.
All these things. So they can be arrested by illegal acts, and then the Constitution comes into play and sends them home and penalizes or slaps
thus,
the hand.
Thus the difference. The difference between arrest and conviction.
Yes. Big deal. There's no, the Constitution talks about conviction, not arrest. And so we have to realize that the guys can't arrest you. But, you know, we can also look at some of the stuff that's happened since. And the Declaration of Independence and laws of God and all that kind of stuff. And the laws the United States has put out about arresting people under color of law, which means edicts of a governor or anybody in a government position has told somebody to go arrest this guy because he's not wearing a mask or because he stood 2 feet from somebody else.
Right.
Because he was on a date and he was kissing his girlfriend. They go arrest him because he's not 6 feet away. Okay. Those kinds of things can be penalized per federal law by jail time, fines, and whatever, depending on the amount of deviation. They're trying to say that you must follow those two federal laws, Title 18, Section 242, Title 42, Section 1983. Those two federal laws set up punishment for people who will not follow the Bill of Rights. That's what it does. And right now, you'd be hard pressed to find many governments in this United States that are following those Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
In the federal government, you can't find it at all. Zoning, for example, I have private property right here. I have a government agency telling me what I can do on it. Mm-hmm. That's a violation of God-given rights. Well, I have HOAs. These are just people now.
Yeah.
They form an HOA, and you have a home that belongs to that HOA. If you don't do exactly what they say, they'll fine you or evict you from the area.
They can take your house in some cases.
In some cases, they can do that. If you don't do precisely what they say, and they're not even a government body. They're just a group of people that put their hands up and says, well, I'll take care of it. And everybody says, okay, do it. Then they took over. And you know.
But what do we do about this? Okay.
How do you unring this bell?
There you go. That's what I want to know. I mean, how do we fight this? Because here's what I think. I mean, I believe everyone needs to stand together, open their businesses, say, you know, to the federal government, you know, thank you, but no thank you. I think everyone needs, and if everyone stopped paying property taxes or, school taxes or whatever it might be, whatever the tax might be, if everyone did that, what are they going to do? Are they going to arrest all of us? Are they going to charge all of us? I don't think so. But we can't get enough people together to do
that. That's what you would call altering the government. Not abolishing it, altering it. I won't do that. Everybody stands up. The government is altered. Because they can't do anything about it. They can't enforce it. See what I mean?
Is that a good thing? I mean, is that an okay thing?
Absolutely. That's Declaration of Independence. Okay? I don't know how to say that word. Constitutional and Declaration of Independence. I don't know. That becomes Declaration of Independence. I can alter because you've taken away my God-given rights to my own property. There you have it. If everybody did it, they'd have to figure out other ways to raise money and do stuff.
Well, especially when they force shutdowns and all that, how are you going to pay your taxes?
Yes, that's another thing. They're not voiding your taxes. They just shut you down.
Thank you.
Isn't it amazing the hypocrisy of government at all levels? And we elect them over and over and over again. We elect the same people, those same hypocrites over and over and over again. The incumbency rate is something like 90%. Yeah. Once you can get an office, typically you can keep it. Period. Why? Because the people don't pay any attention between elections. They only pay attention for 10 minutes while it's hurting them. And then the rest of all the minutes, they don't pay attention, and then they vote for their guy again because they don't remember that 10 minutes that they were angry about.
They just take everything at face value, too. I mean, the fracking, for instance.
Yes.
Yeah, we're not going to shut down fracking. What are they doing? They're shutting down fracking. I mean,
can't do that. It's not constitutional.
Government stays
out of business completely.
That would be nice.
They have all these excuses. Oh, a national emergency. Garbage. The Constitution doesn't say anything about a national emergency. garbage. You can't shut it down for that. Yeah. It just goes on and on and on and on. People don't exercise their rights. In New Orleans, when Katrina went through, there were government officials that went through and confiscated the weapons of people in their homes so the criminals could come and rob them because the law enforcement couldn't do anything but collect stuff. That was unconstitutional. Those people should have said, I will not give it to you. You're not going to take it from me. Get out of my house. But, oh, please, can I have my gun? No. All right. And that's what happens. We will not. We don't know what this book says, and we will not learn it.
Yeah. And that's why we were talking about sheriffs the other day and how they seem to cling more to the Constitution than other police forces. And I know down in Florida, when we had bad hurricanes down south Florida, and they just said flat out, looters will be shot, and the sheriff was fine with that.
Well, you see, that's not, you can't shoot somebody just because you want to. That's not fine. Now, you see, there's an item here. We say, and traditionally this is correct, that sheriffs have the power in their counties to exert authority. Mm-hmm. And if the federal official shows up and the sheriff doesn't want them there, they're out. All right. You know, the word sheriff and its power is never mentioned in the Constitution anyplace. I do not know why we have decided that sheriffs have that power. It's not given to them by the Constitution. If we gave them that power, does that give them the right to trample on our rights?
Well, Randy Taylor, that's an interesting perspective.
It is, but at the same time, it seems to be the sheriffs that are more aware of our rights than, say, city police.
You just need to have
It's been my personal experience.
Yes, I would agree with you there.
Yeah.
But I can't go to the sheriff in my county and get him to protect my rights. He won't do it. He'll shut me down. He'll shut my business down. Okay? Our sheriff doesn't understand those rights. So you have one that does, I have one that doesn't. So where's the rhyme or reason to this? There's no sheriff school to teach him what to do.
The only fix for all of this is Randy Taylor for president.
That's it.
That's it. And you gotta come hang out with me just so I stay out of trouble.
I was gonna say, and right along with you, I'll be right there with you to help right you make sure that you're right.
Doug, let's get those t-shirts printed.
Yeah. You guys, we have a good time.
Start a pack.
Yeah. We have a good
yeah, you know, there's a lot of information packed in, and I want to thank you, Richard Proctor, a lot of information packed into this. A couple of things, I wanted to ask you about while I'm at it here. All of a sudden we're starting to see some states opening up now that the,
once the inauguration was done.
Yeah. Here's what I wanted to ask you. 37 executive orders by Mr. Potato Head, old pee pads at the Resolute desk. I'm not even sure he knows what he's signing. And by the way,
he says that in one video, Doug. He goes, I don't know what I'm signing.
Exactly. Now there was the author of, a book about, a guy that was close to Biden during his prime in the teens here wrote a book, but he said he's at like 50% capacity. But okay, Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com, Saving the Constitution, buy the book. Let me ask you this question, 37 EOs, what the hell is that about? And is that even right? I mean, I guess more than all the presidents combined to just in the 6 days, 7 days.
Yeah, he's trying to unravel everything that Trump did properly.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening. He just wants to unravel everything. And he's doing it with the executive order. Guys, no executive order holds any authority whatsoever outside of the federal government. He can tell the people in the federal government what to do. That's legal and constitutional. Okay? But he cannot tell me or you or a governor what to do, or anybody else. If they're not in the federal government, he can't do it. Here it is, Article 1, Section 1, the very, very first statements. You know, it isn't too far. A lot of people read something that will not get further than the first paragraph. Here it is, first paragraph, all legislative power. That means lawmaking, okay? All legislative power herein granted shall be vested. That means put in, placed by. The power shall be given to these people in a Congress of the United States, which shall consist of a Senate and a House of Representatives. Therefore, that says no law is passed by an executive order. An executive order is an opinion. The federal people have to follow it because he is the president or the ruler of the federal government. They have to follow it, but nobody else does. Nobody else. The EPA, they can't do it. Board of the BLM, the whatever that, Board of Land Management, they can't do it. None of these people can do anything by law. They only can make suggestions, and they can do that all they want. No law is passed. No law is effective. No law is made by the Supreme Court. No law is made by the president. Never, never. No edict he signs, call him an executive order, is applicable. None of it. All legislative power is vested in the Senate and the House of Representatives and no place else. Very clear. It's very clear. Okay. All this 37 is just paperwork. It does apply to the federal government. Okay, I'll go with that. Doesn't apply to me. I'm not a part of the federal government. I'm a private citizen.
They've overstepped their grounds, that's for sure.
Well, one of the EOs, and this just blows my mind, Biden signs executive order to ban the term China virus. Okay.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What? Okay. Is the Communist Chinese Party virus? By the way, Fauci was involved in the gain of function studies and funding through the NIH, and it's Fauci's of all people too. Fauci has ties to this through his gain of function subsidies and such at the Wuhan laboratory. It is a Chinese virus. Orwellian is the only thing I can think of. Go ahead.
Well, don't we have places that are named after the explorer that explored it, discovered it? Don't we have places like that?
Hmm.
I mean, that's a designation. Saying that it's a Chinese virus is a designation of where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
And it did come from there. Everybody knows that it started in that little town in China. Therefore, that's what it's saying. This virus from that little town in China. You can't say that doesn't exist. That's tradition. That's normal. Of course, if you're trying to do a political agenda, you can say anything you want. That's what these executive orders are. Just saying anything you want. That's all. It doesn't have any force. He's also trying to get gender out of everything. No more boys and girls. Trying to get that out of everything. You know, he's allowing all the homosexuals to go in the showers with the girls. I'm a girl, self-identified. Therefore, I can go into the shower with them. If they don't like it, they're violating my rights.
It's sad. It's sad because I have a daughter, and it's sad that I have to go check the freaking restroom before I let her go in there.
That's right.
That's sad. And whatever perverts are out there, make no mistake, you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I will go to jail.
Yes, it's terrible. And that's the kind of stuff that they're doing. Biden's doing. That's what these 37 are about. They're not about anything to do with law. They're about political stuff to get rid of anything Trump did.
How is that even? He's supposed to be pro women in this with the sports thing. How is that even anything near equality for women?
It's the hypocrisy of the whole thing. The hypocrisy of it. Because if you're pro women, you don't want to endanger them. I mean, you want to send your little girl into a shower, and here goes or into the restroom, and here goes a 40-year-old.
Yeah, I sent Eric some graphics on that.
Yeah. Here's a 40-year-old pedophile going in there too. What? What? This is no protection of anybody. It's not a protection of the boys. By the way, it goes the other direction too. The girls can go into the boys' bathroom too. That's the other side of it. Although most of them don't want to do that.
No. But
it's just the boys who want to do it. So he is allowing all these men to go in wherever they want, into the showers, into wherever, do whatever they want. And that's supposed to be a law. That's supposed to be something of the United States. But it is, because there's a certain group of people that want these kinds of things. Therefore, politicians pander to them. There you go. That's
there's the graphic. Right on.
That's it right there.
Right on, Princess. Can I use the urinal next to you?
Is that Randy?
I just said the girls could use the boys' restroom. I just said it. Everyone is.
Folks, I've lost control. I've lost control of the program.
When did you have it?
Exactly. Exactly. I haven't.
You did have it when it was time to do the top of the hour. You did have it. We were polite. Let you do it.
Yeah. Wow. I'm the bearded lady at the urinal.
Right. Yeah. I'm telling you, it reminds me of that time when I got a call from airport police saying there's a guy in the women's restroom dressed as a woman coming to your town to take you to lunch. True story. All right.
Anyway, guys, you asked me a question. I got very, very excited about it. Article 1, paragraph, section 1, paragraph 1, the very, very first paragraph says that executive order has no force. They didn't have for Trump either. They didn't have for Obama, they didn't have for Clinton, they didn't have for Bush, they didn't have for anybody. None of them have any power whatsoever. And they're all still on the books, so we all still think they apply to us. And none of them do, not one.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
an executive order that was written by Abraham Lincoln, if he did, I don't know if he did, but if he did, an executive order that he wrote is on the books today, unless someone rescinded it. If he didn't write one, I'm just using it as an example of somebody a long time ago.
Okay.
So if Biden issued an executive order and someone defied him in the government, is there anything he could do about it?
Well, you see, now you just said in the government, because he is the supervisor, president, leader in charge of the federal government.
So wait a minute. So the executive order would apply to federal?
Would apply to them, yeah, because he is the executive of those people.
Okay.
Right. But his executive orders aren't laws, therefore they never go outside of his direction as the administrator, manager, controller, whatever, of those people. He can hire and fire those people.
Well, okay. So, I apologize for, again, interjecting here, but with respect to Biden saying, well, they're writing the executive order about the China virus, which it is the Wuhan Chinese Communist Party virus, period. But it says here, the Biden executive order is expected to direct federal agencies like the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, to examine whether there are xenophobic references. What a bunch of crap that is. Like China virus, in any existing policies, directives, or government websites published by the Trump administration. Now, he can do that. He's got control over that, right? Okay.
He has control over that.
All right. But that's as far as it goes.
Yeah, but the problem is that when they put that in one of the executive orders and he sends it out to his Department of Homeland Security, they then, without authority, run around and make sure we're all doing that too. And they have no authority to do that. Yet they appear in the state of Utah, and they said, we're here about
this. State of Utah.
Yeah, they appeared in the state of Utah, in the government offices, in the state offices, and said, we're here to look at these things. And the state guy said, it's not your authority. Yes, we are. We're here. Federal authority, Trump state authority. Okay, you can look at them. See, wrong. Federal authority doesn't ever trump state authority.
See, I don't think they understand that.
Yeah, but you see, the state guy should have understood it. Says, no, you don't have that authority, and not do it.
Well, I think DeSantis understands it. Abbott understands it. DeSantis is saying, hey, we're not going to enforce it. Kristi Noem from South Dakota understands it clearly.
I like her. I like her. Yeah.
She's saying, hey, we're not going to lock down. You know, get out of here.
Yep. Wasn't that nice? Wasn't that nice that we had somebody that would stand up to the actual law of the land?
Yeah.
I think that's special good.
It's refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm moving to South Dakota, man.
Yeah, well, you're going to like the winters there, I'll tell you.
I got much worse than here.
Yeah. It's, Richard Proctor, is there any snow on the ground where you're at? I got to ask you.
Yes, there are. There are. There's about 1.5 inches in my yard. Yes.
All right, you can have the foot that's in my yard. So okay, okay. Yeah.
And I live in Doug. I live in the tops of the mountains where it's supposed to snow all the time. Yes, we've had snow in November. We had snow in January. The end of November, and the beginning of January. We didn't have any in between.
It's about this almost the same kind of. We had a dumping on Christmas Eve, but anyway. By the way. Okay, so I've got some emails wanting me to ask you. Now, we covered this at least a little bit, the Senate impeachment trial. Okay, we covered this, but I've got emails wanting just to ask you, this is not reaffirm this for me from the beginning of the show. The Senate impeachment trial is not constitutional because he's not in office, or is?
Okay, it is not constitutional. Because he is not in office.
Bingo.
If he were in office, it would be fine. It is not constitutional because impeachment is limited to only two things, removing the man from office and, when he's removed from office for an impeachment, and disallowing him from having any more places of trust in the federal government.
And one can't happen without the other.
And one can't happen without the other. And the first one is the most important. You got to be in office.
Right.
Impeachment never works against anybody who is not in office. And an illustration of that in our very, very same government, in our very, very lifetimes, is Nixon resigned so he couldn't be impeached. And everybody honored that.
Right. Well, I think, you know what, why don't we impeach Obama next?
Okay, well, I have a document on my computer that one of the people that listened to us sent is sending or has sent. It's 26 pages of the indictment of Obama. She sent it to the representatives and said, since we can indict presidents that aren't in term, we're going to indict this against Obama. And it's 26 pages. Very well written. I enjoyed reading it. Very well written.
Fantastic. So we should impeach Obama. We should impeach
Bush,
but other federal, impeachment doesn't, what is it? Impeachment goes for
Hillary Clinton?
Well, yeah.
For lots of stuff. Yeah. When you look at that in that particular Article 1 section that we were reading, Section 3, okay, give me to it, Paragraph 7. Judgment in cases of impeachment does not say who, it just says judgment in cases of impeachment. So obviously, if we're going to set the precedent so we can impeach one private citizen, we can impeach any private citizen and have a judgment in impeachment. Because it does not say president, it does not say government official, it says judgment in cases of impeachment. So we could go hog wild.
Okay, all right. One more thing I need to ask you about from emails I've received. Folks, this is your voice right now to our guest, Richard Proctor, Randy Taylor, of course, co-hosting. Social media banning of the president, social media banning of conservatives. Understandably, okay, these are private companies. But my contention is, okay, this is just me, the integration – the government integration into these social media companies, as well as their monopoly, like the Ma Bell back in the day, back in 1974-ish, when they were starting to be broken up. Can we even consider a constitutional issue about this? I mean, is there anything constitutional?
I'm sorry, Doug, there isn't. You cannot do those things. The people have to do it. You can't do it. The government can't do it. Every person can do it. If we act in mass, we can do it. But if we don't act in mass, we cannot. Government has no authority. I'm sorry. I hate to say that, but he doesn't.
But what about how the, you know, Bell operations, Ma Bell and companies back in the 70s, when the government intervened under the antitrust laws? You're saying that we've got no recourse? I mean, how in the hell can – okay, so the social media, Twitter and Facebook, they're the new town square. They've crowded the void of the town square. You like how I did that? Crowded. Yeah.
I understand, but it's not a constitutional matter at this point. None of those things you're talking about are constitutional matters. That those stuff, the laws about trust, breaking up the trust and all of that, they're not constitutional matters either. Come on, guys. You've got to understand that we've dug this hole so deep that anything goes nowadays. The social media cannot be terminated because of what they're saying. I can't be terminated for what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know. No, under the new government, it's possible.
Oh, I know, but it's still
that's three of us.
Constitutional, you see. See, what we have to do is we have to realize that we've been doing these kinds of things for so long. The nose in the tent flap. When the Arab got into the tent, when the sandstorm was coming, and left the camel outside in the wind and the storm, he was snug and perfect. It was fine. We'll call that Constitution 1788. When the camels stuck his first nostril in and says, "I please put this nostril in. I got to get it out of the sand." And this man said, "Okay, you can go ahead and put your nostril in." So he did. And then when he asked for his nose, he asked for his face, he asked for his head, he asked for his legs, he asked for everything. Slowly and surely, the camel is now in the tent and the Arabs outside in the storm. That's the illustration of what's going on in our country, because we aren't paying attention. No, social media can do that, but the people can destroy them for doing it. The people can. That was what our buddy Thomas Jefferson said. The people need to be educated to know what to do. You don't take it away from them because they do something wrong. You teach them. That's what he said in that letter in 1820. You don't take something away from people, i.e. the Supreme Court takes it away from the people because they're not educated. He says you educate the people. It's their responsibility to enforce the Constitution. They, the people. So we, the people, have to look at something that Facebook is doing, and we have to say, we ain't going to do this anymore. Quit it. That's why I've been telling people constantly, get out of Facebook, get out of social media. It's no value. All they're doing is controlling you. Well, they don't care. They want to be able to tell somebody what they ate for dinner, what they had for lunch, and what they wore yesterday, and what they did at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. And the stupidity of this is everything they say is taken down in Bluffdale, Utah, to be regurgitated if the government or somebody ever wants to.
All right.
These people send nude pictures of them, teenagers, girls, sending nude pictures of themselves out for everybody to see. That is now in the vaults of the government. You really want them to have it? You really want the government to know all these things you're doing? You're going to cry that the government can't invade my privacy? And then you're going to go on social media and give them your privacy?
I never understood that.
I haven't received any nude pictures of women, sir.
Yeah, but you see, guys, that's what
Tinder
I mean.
Tinder not working for you? Sorry.
That's what I mean, guys, when I say we don't know what the Constitution says. We don't know what our rights are. We don't know what our privacy is. We don't know anything. And because we don't know, people are taking away from us. That's why I say over and over again, if you don't know you have a right, you don't have it.
Yeah.
If you don't know you have it, you
that's
don't
true.
Have it.
That's true.
So if that's how we're going to, if we're going to complain because we got a right taken away from us because we allowed them to do it, come on, folks, what can you complain about? It's your own damn fault. Please pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention. These smartphones, you guys know you're carrying these smartphones. These people now have figured out how to put things. They can trace everywhere you are.
Yeah. Now, I'm afraid to get one of those little things put in my dog.
The microchips?
Yeah.
I recommend that because the dog's not going to do anything or go anything, and they help you find the dog.
No, but if they ever come looking for me, all I got to do is track the dog.
Oh, that's right. That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Absolutely right. All you got to do is track the dog.
I don't want him giving up my location.
Oh, my. It's a good thing turned down.
It's got to be scanned. You're okay, Randy Taylor. You're okay. It's got to be scanned.
Okay.
So they
that's
can't.
What they're telling us, Doug.
Well, yes, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I am saying good you point. Cannot let the federal whoops, are we almost done? We cannot let the federal government know everything about us because they will use it against us. We even allow when we use a credit card to buy groceries. We even allow them to track everything we buy.
Yeah.
Everything we buy.
Yep.
It's all in the computer, and it's all listed and kept on us in Bluffdale, Utah. It's everything.
It's like when you go to PetSmart and they go, what's your email address? I'm like, you don't already have it?
That's right. Yeah. You see,
everybody has it.
it's astounding what we have given people willingly, knowing that they can use it against us. And we run around and say, boy, I'm on Facebook and look what I can do. All these people get on Facebook and they do things. By the way, you just mentioned today's government. Well, I'm sure that a women's organization somewhere in the United States has a Facebook group that they talk with their women's organization over this Facebook. And I'm sure that we'll find some things that the government can grab and throw them in jail for doing because they talk among themselves on Facebook.
And people, I was always, I'll be honest with you, I've never been a Facebook guy. What always bothered me from the inception of that was people going and putting their kids on there, every little thing. And I'm like, this is a pedophile paradise. Really.
Yes, it is.
And you wonder why kids are being snatched off the street. Well, how about, you know, and I never understood law enforcement going on there. You know, I'm an undercover cop. What are you, brain dead?
Yeah, isn't that?
I don't get it. You know, or if you're a cop, this is my kid. Why would you do that?
Yeah, because they'll just come and get your kid and control you.
Thank you.
It's Facebook. I was on Facebook for about 3 months, way back in about 1912. I cannot get the account removed.
No,
they will not remove it. Yeah. I got off it. Told they said, oh, it'll all be deleted in a month. That's what they said. Yeah. But about 5 years later, somebody said, the city of Kaysville, for example, let's just use that. They do a lot of business for the city on Facebook. I went on there and they put me back in the file and brought it to our life. It was never deleted. Now that's 8 years ago. I cannot get off Facebook. No one can get off Facebook. Once you're there for life. And everything you said and did is there for life. And the government now has every bit of it there for life. You cannot stop it unless you stop using this garbage. Anything you say on the telephone, anything you write in an email, now if you write a regular letter and send a snail mail, they don't know. But if you write it in an email, they've got it. And I know I'm in trouble because my books are all done on email. I do all of it going back and forth to get my stuff. It's all done on email, so it's all there. I know that. But you got to at least know that that's there. I didn't tell them what I had for breakfast before I sent it. I didn't tell them if I had sex with my wife yesterday. But people do those things on on Facebook. They do that kind of stuff on Facebook. So all that stuff's available, and it'll be available forever. They have one or two zettabytes of storage space. At Bluffdale in Utah. I did an analysis of the zettabyte one time. And I wish I could always remember, but I think it has like 21 zeros behind it, a one.
Wow.
An idea of what it will hold. It will hold more than's been said since Adam and Eve came out of the garden. Every word, everything that's been said can be put in a zettabyte. That's an illustration that I read about it. That's a big thing. Well, they got two or three of them right now at Bluffdale. So how much storage is that? And what are they doing? You drive down the road. They've got cars, and they've got monitors for your cars to show you the busy places. They do it every day. They say, this is a busy place. They take pictures of the cars. It's interesting that people don't realize. Now, I know that's a service, but the government can, this government could and might go to those cars by the license plate, track everywhere you've been that there's a camera.
Oh, I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, they can track everywhere you've been because everywhere you've been has been photographed in your license plate.
Actually, I've got a database I can tap into. As a licensed investigator, maybe I shouldn't even be saying this, I can enter in a license plate number and see, again, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but here I am anyway. I can enter into a, it's a proprietary database. I get audited, so don't send me emails. I get audited for proper use, so I'm not like a FISA court. But I can actually take your license plate.
No, if you were like a FISA court, you wouldn't get audited.
Exactly, exactly. So yeah. But yeah, so I could put your license plate in and I could see a listing of, the images. From every, like, for example, toll barrier that you've been to or that car has been to. Okay, that's what I can do. And if I can do that, holy moly, what you know. So, yes, you're right. You're
that's 100%. Why I eased up on the sign language while driving. So,
we, for convenience, we have opened ourselves up to terrible, terrible surveillance.
Oh, yeah. We are a surveillance state. We're living in a surveillance state.
Oh, right. The show is. Yes. Everything is under surveillance.
Yeah.
We've done it to ourselves, that nose on the tin flap thing.
Yep.
And some of the worst, though, is Facebook and these. They're the worst because people have entered stuff into there about their personal lives, and they've said things that today, ex post facto means that you can't punish somebody by a law made today by something they did last week. Well, this government, the way it's headed, will punish you for anything you've done in your whole life.
Yeah.
And that's an ex post facto says you can't do that. It's a constitutional principle. Still, we're doing it.
Well, people go right on and when they're in a lockdown state, go, well, I'm not listening. I'm going over to so-and-so's house.
Yep.
And like you said, what did we have for dinner? Pictures of their dinner. Really?
We are willingly giving away the right of the government to incarcerate us anytime they want to, if they want to. And if they pass a law that says you can't do that, an edict that says you can't anything at all. We are willingly destroying our lives for our future. Folks, you've got to understand what Facebook's all about. It's not about communicating. It's about watching you. And I believe, I'm not positive, I've heard it said that it was the government that funded those things to get them started in the first place.
Yes. 100% yes.
So if it's 100% yes, who did it and why did they do it?
Exactly.
If the government did it, you can know very well why they did it. And they're reaping the money from what they did. They don't even have to fire people to follow you. You're gonna tell them where you were.
Oh yeah. And this little puppy right here tells them what you didn't tell them.
Worse than that, the chip you carry in your wallet, they can track that chip. They know everywhere you go.
Big fan of RFID blocking devices, phones, wallets, everything. Because I won't, people. I've got a cell phone somewhere. Okay, you can ask Randy. Most of the time, it goes into like somewhere, and he sends me a text, and 7 days later, I might answer it. I will never take the cell phone into a store. I would never take it into my car. I don't want people knowing where I'm at.
That's right.
Hell, I still like rotary dial phones. give me my analog back. By the way, we only have about 4.5 minutes, or I'm sorry, 5 minutes left of the show. So, anything that you haven't covered, go ahead and cover. You guys are doing great, man. I'm just kind of back here watching.
we're having a good time. Randy, just speak up. What would you like to chat about today?
I just wanted to know what color the telephone with the rotary dial on is.
It's black.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I could show it. Well, no, I can't. But
actually, that's a museum piece.
Today has been very, very informative, Dr. Proctor. Absolutely. When you dig into the Constitution like that, I really enjoy it because I learn something every day. I would learn it faster if I had an autographed book that was sent to the main office. That's okay. We'll get there.
You really are starting to get wear on my nerves.
You know, and it's not a coffee cup too, buddy.
Yeah. This Constitution is the foundation of our principles, of our freedoms, of our privacy, of everything.
Yeah.
Fourth Amendment, secure in your person. What does that mean? Secure in your houses. What does that mean? Secure in your papers. What does that mean? Secure in your effects. What does that mean? What are all those things? That's your life.
Yep.
And this says the right to be secure against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. Shall not be violated. No warrant shall issue, but upon probable cause. So they can't arrest you for something, or they can't go into your home and arrest you from there unless they have probable cause.
Yeah.
And that's supported by oath or affirmation to a judge to get it done, even to the person, place, everything to be searched. It must be listed or they can't touch it. That's what that says. But today, they're busting your door down to come into your house and do whatever they want.
Yeah, I brought up that probable cause thing one time on a traffic stop, and then I heard my taillight breaking.
That's true, right? Yeah. Good. In fact, back in the 70s, and I shouldn't even say this, but back in the 70s, I've watched that happen, okay?
Yeah.
Why you stop me? That you don't have a probable cause.
Yeah.
Smash. Okay, yeah, your taillight's out.
Yeah, Doug and I got pulled over one time. It was in Georgia. And the cop said, he asked me for my license. While I was digging for my license, he walked around the car and he smacked Doug a couple times upside the head. And I was like, what's that all about? And he said, well, I just didn't want you guys to drive down the road. And he said, I wish you'd tried that with me.
Guys, let's summarize a little bit. Let's summarize. We have opportunities in our lives to correct our lives, to improve ourselves, That's why it's good that we have in the gospel of Christ, we have repentance. We have the opportunity to correct these problems. We have the opportunity to correct everything that's around us. We need to take a little time to learn what needs to be corrected and what we can do. Guys, we have the opportunity individually, if we would work as a team, to fix everything that's around us. We just have to do it. We just have to do it. That's all.
Well, I'd like to go down and raise hell in D.C. myself. It's just I know I'm going to get charged with treason and insurrection, and I'm going to have a hard time finding a judge that's going to hear me out.
Well, I understand. I understand that.
If we bring 100,000 with us again.
Well, more than that, that's just the front guys. That's our...
we're not even doing one, let alone a bunch.
That's our point.
And that's the key. We must start doing something instead of just blaming things. Sitting around the pot-bellied stove or sitting around the wood fire or sitting in the living room complaining doesn't do one bit of good.
No, I think there's things brewing.
Pardon?
I think there's things brewing.
Oh, yes. I hope so. Yeah. I hope so.
Yep. Because
if they're brewing, guys, make sure that you have your Constitution handy. Don't brew on things that are not going to be right. For example, if you violate the rights of someone else, you violated them. Because everybody has the same rights you do.
That's right.
So don't brew about stuff that you are unconstitutional for you to do either.
And that's a good segue into people getting a hold of your book, Saving the Constitution. Yep. Go to provisinstitute.com, folks. Get Saving the Constitution, as well as Bathroom Economics and Liberty Series. All the books there are fabulous. Saving the Constitution, it's necessary to navigate through the troubled waters in which we find ourselves today. Randy Taylor, God bless you, my friend.
Right on, brother.
I'll tell you what. Thanks. And Richard Proctor, Provost Institute. Thank you, man. What a great program. What a great show.
I appreciate the opportunity to work with you guys.
Right on, man.
We appreciate the opportunity to be worked. All right. And worked over.
There you go. Worked over.
Worked over, right.
There you go.
All right. Folks, that'll do it. That'll do it. Have a great night, everyone. Good night.